Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, and this is the hectic and off-the-cuff thing. Oh, boy, my God. What a day it's been. What a few days it's been. I just now sat down in the chair and got things going. It has been hectic, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. A little hecticity. Hecticity. I like that. A little hecticity is never a bad thing. I literally just got, I was out all day. Out all day yesterday and out, not out as in unconscious, although I've been accused of being unconscious many times, all the time. But so here I am. I just got in the chair and got it started. Hello to you in the radio world, and hello to you in the watching me on YouTube world. Today is Wednesday the 25th. Is it the 25th? I don't think so. 23rd, 24th, 20. Is it the 25th? I need to find that out. I signed some legal documents today. Let me reach in my pocket here. And it's the 25th, and I signed them the 26th. Oh, I don't know what that's going to do. I signed everything wrong. Yes, I signed legal documents, all of them incorrectly, as the 26th. Egad. I wonder if that's going to make a big difference. Probably not. Probably not. We have a chat room. Where we? Who is we? Well, it's a YouTube chat room, so all you have to do is go to YouTube at moabdelbaki. No, just Mo Abdelbaki. YouTube at Mo Abdelbaki. That little at sign, you know. And Renee is in there, and Raven's in there, and Pamela's in there, and you can be in there, and you should be in there. Why? Because you can talk to me. And I don't feel so all alone. Hand me another oyster, would you, Carpenter? Yeah, whatever. So I just got down, sitting down in the chair, and managed to change the name of the show in the beginning thing. I didn't even manage to get the five-minute warning, 5 minutes left. If you don't want to watch this show, run away. Turn off the radio. Listen, don't listen. So here I am, and here you are, and we're here. And, the 25th of March. The 25th of March. Not the 26th of March. Oh, well. A week from today will be April Fool's Day. I have already been the April Fool. I've done that already. All right. I'm April Fool every single day. Every day. C'est moi. C'est moi. La poisson d'avril. I'm not making fun of the... I happen to love the language. It's a beautiful language. It actually is. It's confusing to me. I should straighten out my shirt. I should sit up straight. No, I shouldn't. I'm kidding. I've got a whiplash thing here, I think. I think I've got whiplash. Neck hurts. Brain hurts. My brain hurts. Whew. God almighty. So how are you? How are you? How's the world treating you? How's the world in general? Well, too many generals, eh? Yeah, definitely too many generals. So today's show is all about bonding with your oracle. Now, what in the world does that mean? Oh, Raven is saying, I went almost the whole day on Sunday think it was Monday. I do feel bad sometimes, but not about things like that. You know, there are some things to really feel bad about, I guess. No, there aren't. I feel so bad. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I am going to talk today about something I think is very important and can help you. It can help you a lot. And that is about bonding with your oracle. Now, I know people who have been reading and for a long time. And I don't feel that they have bonded yet with their oracles. And what's that mean? Well, I don't think that they have a rapport with it. I once knew a lady. She was a delightful, delightful person. Very sweet. Very kind. She was in business doing tarot card readings. And she would just lay those cards down as fast as she could. You know, just flap, 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 flap. And people would come to her like seagulls to French fries in a fast food parking lot. Yes, they would. And it was just amazing to see. And she would do half-hour readings. And they would boom, 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 all day long. And she would walk out at the end of the day with a stack of checks like that. And I am not exaggerating. All day long, just whap, whap, whap. And I said to her, I said, wow, how do you read the cards like that? She said, I don't read the cards at all. I really don't. I just use them as props. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. So it's just pure psychic? And she said, not really. Just talk to them. And whatever comes out kind of comes out. And I said, oh, okie dokie. This was decades ago, at least three of those decades. And I was, oh, okay, all right. And she was so good. And the people who came to her, often during their lunch breaks or their tea time, as it were, not tea time as in golf, that would be ridiculous. When they had a break in the afternoon, they would come situated in an office area. And I rented a little space there for a while, and I was in between situations, as we say. My clients would come to me there. And it was a very different situation because I'd see one person in an afternoon or two or three or four, you know, pardon my scratching my nose, allergy season. And this is 24 hours a day for me, but that's a different story. It was interesting because they would come and there was no bonding there with her oracle because it didn't matter. It was all about just whatever. And she didn't mind so much, you know. I once saw a fellow who used dice. He was a gamer, probably D&D, I think. Not B&D. Different game. It doesn't use dice usually. He made a very nice kind of a thing, and he would have all these dice, you know, the polyhedra, which are very important in metaphysics, but the polyhedra, and he'd throw them out, and he would do readings, and he'd quit his high paying, I guess it was high paying, I don't know if it was high paying, but a job, as a guy. And lasted for about 3 weeks, and then he went right back to that job, or tried to, because it didn't work. There was obviously no bonding because there was no real ability there. So it really is a matter of those of us who are into it. The goal is to bond with your tool. See? To bond with your tool. So, when you create your own deck of cards, for example, as I have, you eventually feel like you've bonded with them when you create them, and then when you send them off to get printed, and they eventually get printed with a company that'll actually do it. Yeah, I'm having trouble now, and they're just... I think what I have to do is just delete all and start all over again. I'm not sure how to do this anymore. The things have gotten so complicated. And maybe it's just because I'm losing my mind at my age. I'm not that old. I mean, I'm really not that old. You know, people are a lot older than I am, and they get things done, and they're quite corpus mentis, you know. Which means not nuts, I think. But who knows what I am. But anyway, so, yeah. And the bonding comes from interacting with your tool. Now. And the whole idea is, how do we do this? How do you bond? So I want to talk about that today. Because it makes all the difference in the world, all the difference between being a reader and being a reader and being someone who is a master of one's art. I consider myself, I really kind of rebelled against those types of words. It was Mark who started calling me a tarot master, and I was like, oh, you know, shucks. Come on now, don't. Come on, don't do that, you know, because it was embarrassing to me to be called such words. But I, you know, I've worked pretty darn hard at this stuff over the past 60 something years. And I love it so much, tarot and astrology. I worked on Western astrology for quite a while, and then I found, or it was thrust upon me, Vedic astrology. And I went, oh my God, I've been with the I Ching since I was 14 years old. I learned about feng shui at the 12th house. That's where I was introduced to that, the bookstore. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is fascinating to me. But I'd been with I Ching before that, and I realized that it was very much an aspect of that. As a matter of fact, most Chinese culture is based upon the I Ching, because it's Taoism. It's the Tao, the path, the way. It's a way of everything, of life, of everything. Fascinating stuff. And powerful stuff, and good stuff. And so what happens is that you... how do you get on this and bond with an oracle? Well, number one, you have to realize that oracles have personalities. They all have personalities. The oracle that I am absolutely bonding with now, and doing so quite well, I will say, is the I Ching through the so-called dragon beads. Okay, I call them that because that's where these red and black beads, I've made several sets over the years, black and white ones, but I really prefer these red and black. The red being yang or yang. Yang. And the black being yin. Yin. And look that up if you don't know what those mean. And these are pretty good ones. But I made these recently, and I'm going to make another set because these have some imperfections. I had to figure out how to make these. These are knots. These are knots. These are knots. You can see those are what are called diamond knots sometimes. They're called Chinese button knots if you use them as buttons. And they're red and black. And I had to figure out how to make them and then connect them into a circle in a way that they wouldn't come undone. And I did that. I'm pretty happy with that. Except that there are some imperfections and things that kind of irritate me, you know, because I get to be kind of that way. But I really like these. These are made out of satin cord, and which is appropriate, you know. I tried making them out of some parachute cord, but it's much too thick, and I don't have enough of it. And it's orange and green, and so if you went to Colorado State University, which I did for two semesters, I graduated from Louisiana State, that's gold and purple, and that's not why. I just had to happen to have that those colors around. I've done a lot of... I'm not going to grab them. They're over there. I did a whole mala, 108 of these knots, and it's a Buddhist 108 mala with a star knot on the end, and it's right over there. But I don't feel like wheeling this thing out over there and grabbing it and I'm going to make another one, but this is a set of dragon beads, and I wear them now pretty much when I'm awake all the time. Why? They're not unpretty, They're not unpretty, and they're not going to break. Trust me, this will rip my hand off before it'll do anything else, because it's very strong. But I can tighten them up a little bit and, that sort of thing. So it looks like people think, well, what's wrong with this guy? Why does he have this around his wrist? But it's more so that I can ask questions. And I have asked lots and lots of questions of this oracle. And I have been absolutely blown away, flabbergasted, stymied, gobstopped. See? A lot of people say gobsmacked. And gobstopped, of course, was a confection in Willy Wonka's place. I probably shouldn't say that. Gobsmacked is pretty hardcore stuff. Because gob is the king of the gnomes. So if you are gobsmacked, that's pretty rough stuff. You don't want to be gobsmacked. So being gobsmacked is like, it's a big one. Because he stands about 4.5 feet tall. He's big. He's not a tiny little thing. He's not like a garden gnome. And he grits his teeth. You see those big teeth of his? He wears armor. Rusty armor, I might add. I've seen him. I know you're thinking... That's Mo. Ha ha ha. He's weird. Yes. Amen. I've asked many, many questions of these, and that's what you have to do. If you want to, number one, you have to understand the personality. Well, I've been working with the I Ching since I was 14. Okay? Next month, I'm going to turn older. Older. And I'm in my 70s now. That's right. 70s. And God, I don't feel it. I mean, I feel like I did when I was, in my 60s. No, I'm kidding. I feel, and it's old. I mean, I'm old. What is old? Maybe not quite as sharp.
I feel sharp. That's the problem, is I feel sharp, but I'm not as sharp. I don't know what it means. I don't have any clue. But I love these beads because they work so well, and I've developed, actually, I'm thinking of maybe next week talking about that. We'll see what happens. But you have to understand the person. Well, I've been working with the I Ching for a long time, and you get to understand the personality. And so what you do is you kind of get a feel for it. Now, if you realize that Tarot comes from a medieval, however you want to pronounce it, mindset, highly judgmental, highly religious, and that's right. And you kind of take that out of it, which you can do, and you realize that there is a definite sense of right or wrong in Tarot. There has to be. It's ethical. Now, it doesn't. You don't have to judge through Tarot, but the cards themselves will always have a sense of this is not right. Or this is okay. This is Oakley-Dokley, you know? Right? And so if you understand the medium itself, that's good. Astrology is about constant change. Now, a chart is pretty static. You know, so you say, okay, I understand astrology. It's a snapshot, if you will, of where the sky was when someone was born. And that's why it's so important that you know where someone was born, longitude and latitude, and the time someone was born. And I do Vedic astrology, as it's called, sidereal astrology. So it doesn't use the tropical system. It uses the sidereal system, which is where the planets actually were, more or less. There's a long story to that. I'm not going to tell it. When your person was born, and where you were, because you were somewhere, right? You were somewhere, and then it goes from there, and that's where the story begins, you know, approximately 273 days before that. But we don't get into the nitpicky aspect of that, right? Some people do, you know, the prenatal astrological point of view. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to talk about that. You know, I don't, it's all right. You know, and even before then, it's like, oh, come on. Do we have to make it that complicated? No, we don't. I don't anyway. So what you're doing, Audra, hello, welcome to the room. So what we're doing is we are looking at the specific aspect of what does, you want to know what your oracle kind of does, like the Oracle Mo that I spoke about, I believe it was last week, which is about, it's about Buddhism. And Tibetan Buddhism. So those of you who are Tibetan Buddhists, and I know some of you who are, you would understand it because it's a binary. You cast some die twice, and you have six, you know, Ara, Pasha, Nadi, and each one has a different, you know, it's a binary system. So you take one of those six, and then from those six you take two, and it gives you one particular, and you go that, and it's, you know, like the clear, unblemished sky, and it's like, oh, wow, or fire, oh, wow, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty nice, and you think about that, and you meditate on that, and you get these answers, and the answers can be very, you know, but it also is in context, but all you have to do is kind of know where it's coming from, like these beads, like I said, the I Ching, and then what you do is you do a lot of it. And I mean a lot. I have done a lot of these readings over the past weeks, months, actually years. I've been fascinated with this. And what I have developed is my own method of using these beads. And I can tell you that it has been stunning to me. And I don't stun easily. I can be a bit cynical. You can talk to anybody. Why? Because I'm an old codger. And as an old, that's not a dodger. I don't play baseball anymore. I used to. When I was young, I was terrible at it. But the point is that as a codger, I've seen a lot of things. And you get a pretty good idea for what works and what doesn't work, you know? And this absolutely, stunningly works. And I can't understand why. So you don't try. You don't try to qualify it, or nor quantify it, nor identify it, right? You just forget about that. And you simply use the tool. And what I've come up with is a way of doing it that I think simplifies it greatly. I don't need the book. I don't need the book. And I just do the readings. And the readings are fast. And they are very accurate. I've found them to be crystal clear. That's because I am becoming more and more bonded with the oracle itself, not the beads. They're not actually beads, you know, they're knots. But not the beads, nor not the, you know, not the cards, not the, I mean, you become bonded with the oracle itself. Okay, so number one, you make yourself familiar with the culture from whence it came. Now, that doesn't mean it has to, you have to study, you know, 13th century Italy. You don't have to do that. But you need to get an idea for what may have been the thought process that spurred on these cards. They were built from gambling. I mean, why did they become the cards they are today? Because they were encoded with very specific messages. What were those messages? Secrets. They're filled with secrets. So are you using a deck that is filled with secrecy? For instance, pomegranates. Why pomegranates? Well, so you get a book on imagery and on symbolism. You can see behind me, right above my head and the wooden bookshelf, there's a bookshelf right above my hat with a black, my head with a black cowboy hat on it. That's not the one. The other one that has a big, thick, white book on it, that's a book of symbolism. I value that book. I've recently gotten rid of, and by that I mean I've actually sold some books, which hurt. It felt like I was pulling my own wisdom teeth. I still have all my wisdom teeth. It hurt. But, you know, you get old and you think, my kid doesn't want to move these again after I kick the proverbial bucket. And so, and that is a book of symbolism. I think that's what that book is. I'm not going to turn around and look at it, so that's a guess. And I've had that book for decades, and it is a remarkable book, but I'm not going to turn around and look at it. But books like that, pretty good, because you get a pretty good idea of symbols. And so you look things up. You see a pine cone. You say, well, what does that represent? And you begin to invest in yourself and in your oracle. If you have, let's say, tarot, and you say, oh, what does this symbol mean? What does this symbol mean? What, especially if you're working with something like the Crowley tarot, Aleister Crowley, or you're working with the Rider-Waite deck. Invest in it. And if you put the time and energy into it, it will turn around and put time and energy in you. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it isn't. Okay? It isn't. There is a true joy, and I mean joy, in being able to have bits of information at the tip of your tongue or the tip of your brain, because that means that you are bonded with your oracle. whether it be astrology, whether it be palmistry. I used to read lots and lots and lots of palms. I remember the very day that I bonded with palmistry. I'd been doing palms for a long time, but it was at the Denver Zoo one afternoon. I read over 100 palms in one afternoon, over, easily. They were lined up, you know, and I'm reading palm after palm after palm, and oh my goodness, and suddenly it just opened up to me, and I could see it all. I was telling people how many children they had. I was seeing incidents in their lives, how many marriages they'd had, and it was accurate, all of it. The oracle opened up to me because I was doing so many of them, and I was, and here's number two, or maybe it's five by now, I don't know. You should be keeping count, not me. I'm old. You should be keeping count. You must trust in that oracle. You have to completely and totally trust that it is telling you the truth. Now, this doesn't mean blindly walking off a cliff, okay? We're not the fool card. And by the way, gematria. I love gematria when it comes to tarot and stuff, because that was one of the things that they used. Gematria is numerology, but it's specifically numbers and letters. It's the theory that every number is a letter, and every letter has a number. So it's like regular numerology, but with the symbolism involved. So it's mostly Hebrew numerology when we get to Hermeticism, but it can be Greek letters, it can be English letters. There's so many different ways to do it. It's very powerful. Oh, Raven is saying, I feel that I have bonded with the runes, but I know I could go deeper. Need to find the time, though. Ah, there's an answer. Time. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. You have to be dedicated. If you're not going to put the time in, don't complain. You see? If you don't put in the time, it's not going to work for you. But you have to put in the time to do it and do it properly. Someone's trying to call me. I don't know if you can tell that or not. It's probably someone, it's the person who's going to say, did you know that you signed wrong date? I know that's what's going to happen. I'll call him after I'm done here. So you have to put in the time. And obsession is a good way to have that happen. Obsessive personality. I'm very obsessive. I've mentioned this before. When I want to know something, there is very little that will keep me from wanting to learn it. Now, before the internet, this meant going to libraries, and I would go to libraries, not just the library that was near my house. I used to, when I was a kid, I'd go to the library in my hometown. It was a Carnegie Library, built in 1909? Might have been about there, but it was a great, might have been earlier than that. It was a lovely library. Yeah, it had a great occult section, but I would go in there and sit down and plop myself in. I was a kid. I mean, we're talking 10, 11, and they, yeah, I won't tell the stories. But when my kids were young and we lived out in another part of the city, I would go to the Columbine Library, as it was called. It was right next to Columbine High School, the Columbine High School. And if they didn't have what I needed, I would drive downtown to the Denver Public Library, and I would spend time there before it was filled with meth addicts. And they would have to close it and, you know, clean it from all the horrible things that were there. So that was what we would do. When my dad went on sabbatical to Stanford University, I went down in the Stanford University stacks. And that was just, oh my goodness, research, obsession. Wow, was that fun. That was the year he bought for me my copy of Egyptian Hieroglyphics by Sir Alan Gardner, which is in back of me on the bookshelf. I love that book. I had borrowed it. I found that book when I was 11 or 12, and he would check it out for me from the Colorado State Library. And whenever anyone wanted it, which was never, you know, because really didn't, no one ever wanted it, he would have to give it back once, maybe someone did. And I went, you know, it's a book on hieroglyphics. And I have my own copy, and I love that book. It's really the book on Egyptian hieroglyphics. Sir Alan Gardner was an Egyptologist. Aleister Crowley went to him to have some translations done. But that's a long and different story. At any rate. So, trust. Trust comes through use. Trust comes through. I asked a question yesterday of the beads, took it off my wrist, asked the question, got a hexagram that was the only possible positive answer out of 64 hexagrams. The only one. It was the only one. Any other ones would not have been, they would have been ambiguous. It was only one possible yes question, yes answer. And that's what I got. And I was like, whoa. How does this work? How does it happen? Well, it happens because there's something to it. And after you begin to get beyond the, I don't know, and you simply trust that the answer is what it is, then you have begun to bond. Because as you begin to trust the oracle likewise begins to trust you. Think about that. We think that these things, yes, they're only pieces of cardboard. They're only, this is only two pieces of satin cord that I have strung together. Beads, coins that you cast, yarrow stalks, pieces of wood, whatever. But what is it behind them? What is it that lies behind them that allows us to ask questions and receive answers that are in fact quite truthful and accurate? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. And I think it's important for us to work with these things in earnest, because it's the only way that we can help others the best, if that makes sense. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help others. We're trying to give them the best possible advice that we can give. Right? So, you have to trust in the oracle. You have to believe in it. If you're just simply doing the work because it's a prop, then what is it that you're believing in? If you believe in yourself, that's wonderful. But if you don't even do that, then you will be washed out, if I can put it that way. You will be, you know, eventually, as has happened with everyone that I know who has done this work insincerely. Okay? There's nothing wrong with entertaining people. There's nothing wrong with helping people. There's nothing wrong with a lot of it. But we must take it seriously. I've never made the mistake of thinking that what we say to people does not matter. Okay? The runes, by the way, are a wonderful tool. I used them for a long, long time before it became obvious that they were being used in a, not an unsavory sense, but in a way that maybe wasn't as, by certain groups, you know. Now, Raven just said, it has never occurred to me before what you said about the Oracle trusting me in return. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if the Oracle doesn't trust you, you'll never get anywhere with it, or you'll just be a has-been with it, or whatever. I don't know what I mean by that. The Lenormand cards, for example. They are an interesting deck. They're just very simple. A rider, clover, a ship, a house, you know, a tree, a snake, a coffin. I mean, you've got all these symbols, a house, a mountain, a star, a bear, a kid. I mean, what do these mean? Well, they don't mean a damn thing unless you invest time and bond with the Oracle, because it's up to you. You could read, you know, the little white book and see what that says. Or you can buy an absolute myriad of books about the Lenormand deck or the Kipper deck, which I talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I think people are just like, what the hell is he doing? What is he doing? But I have bonded with the Kippers, especially my deck, which is far out, man. You know? It's kind of, wow, look at the colors. But, let's see, Raven says, I know what you mean. The runes were associated with the Nazis. Not always. Obviously, the Nazis were not always. Karl Maria Villigut, he was the man who took it on as a job to bring them in as a the runes as a part of the SS regalia, especially the SS, and they were brought in that way. When I started working with them, I knew about the runic use within Nazi Germany, but I didn't understand how serious they were about it. And they actually used them ceremonially, because they felt they were entitled to them more than anybody else. Yeah. And I don't want to go into that. I mean, it's fascinating when you get into the history of them, the things that went on at Wevelsburg, and, you know, but it's not worth discussing here. It really isn't. There was a sweet guy, Ice Wolf. I've spoken of him before. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about this stuff right now. You say you get funny looks with people when you wear your Thor's hammer necklace. Yeah, I'm sure you do, but not everyone who wears Thor's hammer necklaces, not all those people, are Nordic, you know? They use them because they work. Yeah, well, it depends. Not everyone who wears the Thor's hammer knows what they're for, or how to use them, or what they're about. Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, very specific design, and the story of how it was made and why it has such a short handle. I mean, it's really a wonderful story. They're wonderful myths. My favorite myths when I was a kid were the Norse myths, probably because I was in the fourth grade when Thor comics came out. That's how old I am. Dr. Donald Blake, you know, finds this staff. He's lame, as they used to say back then. And he finds this staff, and he, boom, Thor, you know. And we were just all thunderstruck, pun intended. And low-key, and who was anything but low-key, that's for sure. And got into Odin, and I read everything I could on that mythology. And I'd already been interested in the Greek mythology, and had read almost everything I could on that by that time. And mythology, if you want to learn about a people, read the myth. And if you want to learn about the magic behind it, read the myth. You see? And don't think things like, oh, Odin hung from Yggdrasil upside down by his own intestines for 9 days and nights. Why, that's coincidental, 9 days and nights, because we hung upside down within our mother's wombs for 9 months by something that looks kind of intestinal, that being the umbilicus, you know, the umbilical cord of our mothers. What a surprise. No, don't ever do that. Always say, that's fascinating. What, you know, that's meant to be. Yeah. That's meant to be. Interestingly enough, in the stories, Thor is not always all that smart. You know, he's not always that smart. Anyway, I loved the Norse mythologies, and by the time I was, rabidly, all the stories that I could find on any mythology, I devoured. And I still like them. I still like myths. Because myths describe why humanity does what they do. And they were an attempt also to explain nature and natural law and natural beings and unnatural beings as well. The elementals. The sylphs, the undines, the gnomes. Right? Yeah. I'm leaving somebody out. Salamanders, as we call them. They're very interesting groups. They have different names. I won't get into that. So, if you want to bond with an oracle, you have to trust it and use it a lot. And by that, I mean you just ask questions, okay? Tell me about the Straits of Hormuz, okay? All right, card, boom. Wow, okay. Defeat, reversed, okay? Shattered. So it's reversed, which means that it's not going to be total defeat, but it's going to be, okay, is it going to work out okay? The Aeon. As you can see in my card, it's dinosaurs and a big old asteroid headed right there. So something's going to have to shift. It's going to be major. It's going to be big. Things are not going to be the way they were. World policy. Is it changing big? Secret deals going on. Now, these are the lovers. These are Pierre and Marie Curie. But look at the deal. Look what happened to them. There's some radium there. They were very much in love, but they also both, well, he didn't. He died in an accident. But she, her coffin is still enshrouded in lead because she still is toxic. So there are secret deals going on. And I'm just reading, you know, just intuitively, but you become bonded with it. Man, it's not a big deal. It's just so you just ask questions, and you ask question after question after question, and it doesn't have to be a big deal, but you just do it over and over and over again, and then eventually, I mean, I've been reading Tarot for most of my life, and why don't people get it? Why don't people get it? Strife. Because they're afraid. They're afraid to get it. They're afraid to stand up. Now, there's a No Kings thing this weekend. Protest. Good word. Protest. This one may do something, because there's a lot of energy behind it, and maybe a little bit of magic behind it. If you do magic, throw some into it. It's seeking something. It's seeking something more powerful. You see? Will it do anything more? Yes. It will bring gain. Why? Because it's a conglomeration of people. It's people signaling each other that something has to change. Gain. See? So you just ask questions, and you talk to the deck, and the deck talks back to you. That's bonding with a deck. Using, you know, whatever. You just do it, and you do it more, and you trust it. And you don't say, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't believe that. You just keep doing it. And you do it more and more, and you do it as often as you can. See? Like I said, I've been asking questions of these beads over and over and over again. And I don't verbalize it. I just do it. If I do this thing with the beads, I'm going to show you how to make your own set, how simple it is. It's not a big deal. Yeah, I'll show you where to get the beads. It's very easy. They're not very expensive. You can make a set for under 10 buckaroos. And they're easy to make. Trust me, I wouldn't steer you wrong on that. And how to use them. And, and then you can make them smaller or bigger. Or, you know, it's up to you. And I'm going to encourage it. And not because I was going to, like, make them and say, hey, you can buy them for me because they're that easy. I'll make them. But my wife said, no, you're not going to do that. You know who you're not, what you're not going to do? That. And I said, okay. I'm not going to do that. But I want to teach people how to do it, though. And she said, sure, do that. You know, because I want people to be fluent and talk about making decisions. I want to help people. These are crazy times. Yeah. I want to help people. In these weird times, you know. So, bond with your oracle. Choose what you want to do. Raven, use your runes more. I'm not browbeating you. I'm just saying, when I was heavily into runes, and I was heavily into them, I was using my runes constantly. I made some rune staves. Where are those staves? They're right here somewhere. It doesn't matter. I made long staves, and I stained them dark, and I carved into them the runes, and I would just pick them up and boom, just throw them. And I would, whatever was up, I would read. I made some incredible predictions with those. Some for clients. With one client, I actually had her using her runes, and I said, predict what, you know, I said, just use them. And she said, oh, I can't. I said, just use them. And she threw these runes out, and I interpreted them. We were doing a FaceTime sort of thing, or whatever you call it, Skype or whatever. And she was able, and we drew this map, and this map mapped out exactly what was going to happen and where it was going to happen. And that's exactly how things happened for her. Exactly. Even to the point where she would have horses and do that sort of thing. You see? Oh, so Raven makes bind runes carved into candles several times a week. Yeah, and she pulls one every day. That's good. But I think you should be, more than just pulling one, talk to them. They want to talk to you. Omens are good, but what oracles want to speak to us. Yeah. They want to talk. Why? That's what they're about. The universe is constantly talking to us, constantly, constantly. We just need to listen. That's all. Okay? So that's how you bond. If it's charts, just listen to the chart. Open up a chart and it should start talking to you. I used to do charts all the time. And I just open up a chart and it would just start, "Mo, hey, look at this. Talk to this guy about this because this is what's bugging him." And I'd say, the relationship is really bad. And he'd say, "How do you know that?" So it's right here in your chart. The chart would just say, "Yep, this guy, he's got a bad situation going." And by the way, ask him about his work. Okay, well, that's my time for today. I got in the chair. I made it. It's good. I love you all. And you know that. All right? So until next week, I wish you all peace, and I wish you all love. And we will talk to you, whoever's here, talk to you all, and see you later. Okay? Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2,